Yes,
Oh
it
my God, are
is.
you gonna have sex with Matthew Gosta? Oh my
I
God.
want to. I'm just curious, low key.
Okay, break up with Cash. Like, we like.
Oh my God. You have problems, actually.
I
We're
heard he
not
likes them
breaking up.
young, so.
Ew. Oh my God. We're getting canceled.
We're not. No one.
We
We're not
are.
cancelable. Or like
That's
Dasha.
just not okay. Dasha is canceled from everyone,
No,
first of
she's
all.
not. Everyone loves her. So he wants us to put on Zoomers.
What does he even mean, like put it on? Like he
Like, I
put.
think he wants to do it in my house.
What if you live in like a crack den? He doesn't know where you live.
Well, I guess he trusts me.
Yeah, he saw the background of your room and was like, this bitch has a nice living room.
Ooh.
Sex with him in your room.
You can't do that. No outside clothes on the bed, girl.
Well, we won't be wearing clothes, girl. So
Ew!
it's that's how you have sex. So I think I got sick again. I think it was the show that did it.
The wearing the mask thing. I heard that when
Yeah.
you wear a mask, you like get really sick from the mask. I heard masks are they're making you sick.
Yeah. So now I'm sick again.
I heard that masks cause cancer. What if I tell them that? Should I tell them that? I'll tell them that.
Don't tell them that.
And then I'm gonna cut it right here, and then I'm gonna cut to when like I say that to them when they're in the call. I'm gonna be like, "Did you know that masks cause cancer?"
Okay, a few things to say about that.
I, James
Hi,
DeAngelis, Clay slash Kib, hereby request Josh Oliver to
Obaye.
Ovaye with the Internet is Dead podcast. Please, Josh, be a guest on the
Josh, if
podcast.
you hear me, if you're there, if you're okay, if you're not okay, tell us. You have to
Stick
give
to the
us a
script.
sign.
Stick to the script.
Be a guest on the podcast. We miss you.
I'm
You're gonna get canceled.
not getting canceled. They're not fucking canceling me. I won't let them.
You click
Try
that.
that.
Yep,
Can you
perfect.
guys hear me?
You guys look like you're on a microwave.
Hold on. We're so close. Hold on. Can you
This
guys
is
see? No,
really good
that's better.
quality.
You guys are probably gonna
Our
want to keep
thing.
all this, use all this.
Yeah,
Yeah,
for
for
sure.
sure.
Can
Did you
you hear
guys
me?
see your
What's up?
tattoo in HD?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, my one arm with nothing? Whoa. Okay. Action. I'm just
Well,
kidding.
anyways, it's so
Well,
nice to
hey
meet you
guys.
guys.
Nice to meet you guys too. What's up? Bummer
Before
how.
you guys joined, I was all like, you know, masks actually cause cancer. And then Samira said,
No.
don't say that when they join the call. And I was like, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
Masks do? What do you
She's
mean by that?
anti-mask.
Yeah, I'm
Elaborate.
like becoming right wing these days.
Oh
Not
my
ironic.
God. That's
Yeah.
wicked of you.
But I feel
Wait.
like it's like based if like a girl with bangs does it, you know?
You guys gotta elaborate.
Okay,
Like,
sorry.
really, really, really
Sorry.
conservative.
Yeah.
Was the masks thing a real thing, or did you just randomly
No,
say that?
I just made that up.
No,
I'm
she just
sorry.
said
I was
that.
like,
Okay. I need to know what's going on
Because
with
I was like,
this. She's
that
trying to be
just
an edgelord.
unlocked,
Yeah, I'm
like,
getting into like edgelord territory these days.
yeah. Shit, I
That's
fuck
fun.
with
That's fun
that.
for like a little bit. Yeah. It was like kind of like my Sugar Pine 7 arc to my edgelord arc. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
15-year-old watching Sugar Pine 7 and that's like, oh, then you're like into Red Scare and watching. No. I'm
Yeah,
kidding.
and
I'm
now you're
kidding.
like you're rewatching it and you're like getting radicalized. For sure. You're
Yes,
rewatching
dude,
Sugar
Sugar
Pine
Pine
7.
7
Yeah.
radicalized me as a teenager.
That's awesome.
That's the title of the video.
I think it
Yes.
radicalized us as well, to be honest.
Dude, yeah,
Do you
the title of the
think?
video, how we got radicalized. Shit's fucked right now. Isn't that
It's
crazy?
really
It's
bad. Who's to say that a plane doesn't come and fall on our recording and then it's all gone and then all that audio work for nothing?
But at least we shared this moment together
That's very
as
true.
best friends, the four of us.
That's what
Yeah,
life's
I'm
about.
like, you know, as I've gotten older, and I'm sure that you guys have a certain perspective of us from Sugar Pine 7. And that's like a really funny thing that I just like had a realization of is like, oh, as I've gotten older, I've found of like the teetering that I'm losing my train of thought.
That's
That's
actually, I think they
unbelievable.
call that like dementia or like
No, it's
Alzheimer's.
dementia. I'll tell
Early-onset
you what it is. It's
dementia.
not
It is
dementia. It's
dementia.
Adderall withdrawal. I just recently quit Adderall, and it's a real thing,
Yeah.
like the
Yeah.
withdrawal of that. Because I was literally on Adderall for like 6 years,
Oh,
and
wow. Yeah, that's insane.
damn near every day. Yeah, so I'm just like getting back to my equilibrium, and the result of that is what's it called?
Dementia.
Yes.
lapse in memories.
Well, if you just like forget stuff sometimes, we're not even going to hold it against you or blame you at all.
Thank you.
Well, yeah. I'll keep tally.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's actually good because then I can work on remembering those things.
What were you going to say about the just like processing? Because I was actually going to bring this up as well because Samira didn't watch you guys. Let's be real about this.
What the hell?
I did.
Guys, I know.
She didn't.
But do you want to first of all explain why you watched them?
Okay.
Yeah. So don't.
Do you guys know the YouTuber Weston Corey?
Yeah. Weston, he's the homie. Weston.
Yes, yeah. He's awesome. And I used to talk to him on Discord when I was younger on like his Discord server. He showed me you guys, and I was like, oh my god, Weston is the smartest person ever. I'm gonna do anything he tells me to do. And then I watched you guys, and I was like, oh my god, like I'm smart now. Yes, if he told me to rob a bank, I would have. I literally would have. I was like a sophomore in high school.
Incredible. Yeah. Big shouts out Weston. Love yes, you, bro. Kristen, that is his sister's name, right?
Kaylin. Great guys. Great guys all around.
Yeah.
His neighbor, William. I still love him. What is the lore with
them? I thought that they were following or something, and then I followed them back and watched their videos, thought they were entertainment. They were just massive and didn't post that often, but they're massive. Where did they come from?
Well, I love how this is becoming a Weston Corey podcast episode. I think they started, I don't know, because me and him are like a year apart in age. So I found him, I think, went like around when he started. He started like Musically or something. But yeah, I like became friends with like more so his neighbor William through Discord when I was younger. So it was it's awesome.
Unreal. Those guys
sorry, I'm just rearranging the video sizes of you two.
Yeah.
And now I'm trying to find the right eye line.
I heard that's what's it called? A symptom of dementia. I heard that's a symptom.
Oh, it's not a symptom of dementia. I'm all about video and film. And so that's what I'm thinking about right now.
This guy hasn't watched a film in 5 years.
He's a producer.
I am. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. But anyways, I do think that just your guys' internet presence in general, this is like really why I thought it'd be really interesting to talk to you guys, because I feel like your fandom is so interesting because people are still online like commenting about Sugar Pine 7 being like, we missed them, why did it end? And like that's sweet and really like
it is really sweet. Yeah,
goes out to you.
Thank you, dude. You know, that is a really crazy thing, and like the fact that like, you know, still getting like messages here and there about like, you know, hey, just wanted to say like you guys fucking, you know, shaped my sense of humor and like my friend group and things like that. And, you know, when they were like in high school or college or something, and then now like thinking that I've shaped this person, so if they do anything fucked, it's my bad.
I get a lot of messages saying that we caused early puberty in a lot of young people.
That is awesome.
That's good.
No, and that's crazy.
I started watching you guys and I like got my period for the first time. I'm just making
pissed you off or something.
Fuck, you guys are
how that works.
No, I was kidding. I was just going with your bit, but well, I'm 23.
We know. We all trust.
Yeah, I feel you, and like it's so cool
about the period thing.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for
like to think these guys helped girls get their periods. You guys are kind of feminists.
Whoa! I always thought.
Yeah.
I didn't give a fucking shit. That's awesome, dude.
No, but it is funny because I do think, like, even just, like, speaking with you guys, like, I feel like there's, like, a, I don't know, I think I did, like, take on part of your guys' humor when I was younger. And I think that also, like, went along with a lot of
social relationship thing going on.
Yeah, it's awesome. But that's, like, I love that stuff. It's awesome.
Totally. Yeah.
But that's a really interesting point because that's one of the messages we get often still is, like, you guys shaped my humor.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's a very humbling thing to hear. Because I get it, because all of the people I watched and the people that I watched growing up shaped my humor. And like you feel alone until you meet it's very rare, or at least it was very rare for me to meet people who like actually get it.
And yeah.
Like, even Steve was like the first person who ever actually got it. We just needed this. I have bad vision.
So I was trying to fix my eye line. So I think it's good now.
Okay.
Because it's like, you know, I want the eye line to be right for the camera. So yeah, looking at you guys. And
yeah, yeah, perfect, like eye contact happening right now.
This is good right now. I think.
There he is.
Oh, perfect.
This is actually a wireless monitor.
It is a wireless. Oh,
that's so cool.
Runs off the generator. I'm saying, I get it and I appreciate it like so much. Like it kind of like blows me away and like I get it.
Yeah, it's very like humbling and validating too, because like you know, we had the opportunity to create something with our friends that like influenced people, but also like entertained people, made people feel things, made people happy when they were like maybe their life wasn't like going great or they were having a shitty day or shitty week, and then like
shitty fucking life,
man, get a life. Loser. And you know, we were able to bring joy to them, you know, bring laughter to them, any stuff like that, literally just entertainment. Like I think that it's a valuable thing, especially when like there's so much bullshit going on, and there was just as much bullshit going on back then.
Yeah.
And I felt fucking weird growing up, like my sense of humor. No, seriously, like,
and I'm feeling fucking weird right now.
I felt weird growing up with the, like a very like obscure sense of humor in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, meeting Steve and then meeting James and it being like, these people get it the exact same way I get it.
Yeah.
And no one else has ever got it quite exactly like that. Was that already is like validating that I'm not weird. It's just niche. And then other people getting it when the SB7 started like happening and people were loving it. It was so cool to see that like, oh, there are other people like me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, and I think that's like what so much of the audience was also like attracted to. I feel like as a viewer, I definitely came to it being like, I feel like detached from my reality. And I think that's where a lot of people found what they loved on the internet in general, was just like people coming online and being like, oh, I like don't have anything in common with the people I'm face to face with, and then finding it online, which is really, really beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. People just watching fucking Logan Paul and all that shit, all that middle America fucking humor.
That is just, yeah.
Hey, that was someone's home.
I couldn't enjoy it. Like,
Logan was someone's home.
Someone found community in the Logan Paul fandom.
For sure. And it's a fucked community that grew up to be fucking Trump supporters and Elon Musk fucking dick suckers, man. Yeah. We're at a point now in history where
we have to fight back.
Well, there needs to be like a level of like, say it how it is and, you know, expect accountability. Thank you, dude. Because it's like, I don't know, it might take me a minute to just wrap my head around articulating all that, because I'm heated when I start thinking about all that shit. But like, yeah, there's no more room for like benefit of the doubt, you know, when it comes to shit like followers and supporters of that. You can't. And now I'm past the Logan Paul and more into the politics side of it.
Yeah. I mean, the Logan Paul stuff was insane, and I feel like it was really relevant when you guys were coming up. I'd like to like backpedal and kind of talk about that community that was like existing on YouTube when you guys started, and if you could just like even give like people listening a picture of what the YouTube landscape really looked like at the time, because it was very different, I feel like, from how it is now, and just like the communities and everything.
It was the beginning of the divide of everything, of everybody being like so like hostile and like wearing their fanship as like their personality and their armor. Like, I don't know, it was weird. I started doing YouTube and shit when I was very young, and it was just like the wild wild west in the most beautiful way, and like it wasn't so clicky and weird, and like everything got super weird after Sugar Bun 7. Like,
and I'll be honest, I was not like into YouTube at all before I linked up with the boys. Like, just not my thing at all. Like, I was not really like an internet person, and then so I came into it totally fresh and like experiencing this and us like making this shit that I was like cool, because I went to film school and I wanted to like make shit. So I was like that kind of angle, and then I had to learn all the like politics of it and like how the internet operated and like all this shit, and I like didn't even really fuck with it then, you know, like I learned what I needed to learn in order to operate. But then when we stopped doing the show, like I was like, all right,
it was cool to work with people that James didn't know, that I like had known and like admired as a young person. And James was just like, I don't know who they are. I'm like, this is the smosh freaking.
Aww.
Like I was able to recognize like, okay, they're successful.
Yeah.
But I didn't have the like
boner for them.
I wouldn't have boner for them.
Yeah, I would.
Wait, so then who were some of the people, Clay, who you like grew up watching like on YouTube, who were like, whoa, we're working with these people? Because I'm just curious about like your like where you were on the internet like prior.
Yeah, I like made my rounds, and I still like, I don't watch YouTube as much anymore. I watch like a couple streamers, I would say, depending on the game I'm currently playing. But
I was like, gonna say, I watch YouTube. My favorite YouTubers are like
Pokemon
YouTubers.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
play different Pokemon decks and stuff.
I grew up
the trading card game.
Yeah. Oh, and we are good. But I grew up watching like the first YouTuber ever, like Tobuscus. Mm. Like he was, because like anything that was close to Jim Carrey attracted me to them when I was younger. Because I grew up on like Jim Carrey, Eddie Murphy, Robin Williams, Ben Affleck. And then yeah, it was like Tobuscus, and that like got me into like, I was like, oh my god, I want to do this. It's like the most fun thing ever. And then like a little bit of PewDiePie back then. I'm trying to think of anybody else. Oh, like Markiplier. I had like a big Markiplier phase, and then working with Markiplier was like the coolest thing ever. Like I am still speechless that that happened. Like now I don't like it, you get desensitized to it as you start to like work with more people, and they're like become peers, not people who are above you.
Mm-hmm.
And like, but I still always, even to this day, even in like music and when I work with someone that I think is fucking incredible, like I never lose the excitement and the like, hey, yeah, I think you're absolutely fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Even if they were getting less views or something, I would still be like, and there's musicians that I'm like, you are like one of the greatest ever, I think you're incredible. Like, I never lose that. I'm so grateful for that because it just keeps me excited and keeps the fire alive. But yeah, I can't really remember anybody else that I watch other than like Tobuscus, a little bit of PewDiePie, Markiplier.
Me, I was really big into Tourette's guy.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is, but that sounds like awesome.
It was the guy who faked having Tourette's.
He faked
before it was frowned upon.
Jesse Ridgway, he was one.
He did it when it was still cool.
Do you remember?
To fake Tourette's, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was like the first time someone did that.
Mm.
And then now people on TikTok like do that in order to like grow their following and shit. And that's why it's crazy. So dumb.
So
what are you doing, man? What makes you think that people aren't gonna like find out that you don't have Tourette's?
From your public Facebook post, you're like, happy birthday, grandma.
Shit.
But do you guys remember Jesse Ridgway? He did like Angry Dad. Like, it was viral. It was like getting to be acknowledged by him at all. When it happened, like I was already desensitized, so I was like, wow, that's so cool. But like younger me is like, dude, I never thought that I would come in 1,000-mile radius of that dude. And like Boogie 298, I used to watch Boogie 298 all the time.
God bless him.
Some fucking tough times growing up, man.
And that's awesome, man.
He was like my therapist,
you know. And I think like with people like that, it's, you know, the whole like separating the art from the artist type of thing,
for sure. Because
like,
can't,
you know, no, you can't. And but you can, I still think like, and I think the biggest example of it is like Harry Potter, right? Because Rowling's a fucking
the classic.
I think I watched Harry Potter more knowing what happened, and I don't agree with it.
No, but like I think the value that you get from the work and how that influences you and helps you, you know, in whatever way, like you can still have the value from that.
Mm-hmm.
With like, it sucks when it comes to like, oh well, then like don't support this person because it's making them money. It's like they have enough money for a million lifetimes,
which
it's
is
not
a
gonna
problematic
make a difference.
Mentality, but I agree with it.
That's how I see it. Is it's like, it's different when it comes to like, I don't know, it's hard because it's gonna sound hypocritical, but like I think it's
I was gonna say it's
different than like supporting a company or a corporation that you don't agree with like their ideals and stuff, because you can just get those products from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But like when it comes to like an art form, like it is still generating. So you know what I mean? It's like a weird area because it is still generating revenue for
it
these people.
Weird. It's this, it can be hypocritical. I completely disagree and don't like supporting people who do bad shit. But I'm gonna watch Harry Potter.
I'm gonna fucking watch Harry Potter. In fact, we just did.
And I'm gonna watch it again and again and again, baby. Yeah. Like it just is what it is. hang me for it.
No, I feel like that is such like
and make it so disrespectful.
I feel like that is very much just like a very like a thing with getting older too, and like looking back on people, like because people have like this like nostalgia aspect of things where everyone's just like always nostalgia bonding over everything. And I think that's such a big aspect of Sugar Pine 7 and so many other things, and like good things and things that have turned out to be like, oh, this is something I have to like look at with a different lens now. But it's such like I don't know, it's just like such a nuanced thing of figuring out that balance between like loving something and having like space in your heart for it, and then moving on to like understand it still in that, in like the lens of, oh, maybe someone did something messed up.
Larger impact that it might have had in different ways, like separate from the actual art form of it. Like, yeah, no, totally. And I think that that's also just like growth and human nature, and like the hypocritical side of it is like kind of what's human about it.
Right.
Because you can't be, there's no one on earth who is just fucking perfectly, never once hypocritical. It just doesn't exist. Except me. And the except me.
except and, the four and people on this like call.
Standard that, I'm sorry, what did you say?
I just said except the four people on this call.
Oh, 100%.
I heard everyone on this call is perfect.
Yep. Yeah. Awesome. Yes, we are. Yeah, there's like this
is it, I think it's questionable whether or not it is the consumer's responsibility to like not watch Harry Potter because they did that. Questionable. I don't know the answer to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the argument can be made, and I'm sure to some people it might, you know, hit closer to home as far as the reasons why J.K. Rowling has fallen from grace, you know. But I do think it's a like an individual choice that is valid one way or another, but to still recognize, you know, the reason why she's fucked.
Totally.
Thank you, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I think the like an interesting part about it is like thinking about Logan Paul, because that's kind of where we started with it.
Yes,
I think that it's interesting because I think the kids who were watching him were probably socialized to think that was funny and entertaining and normal, and like everything about him was super funny and entertaining and normal. And I think that because we've kind of talked about this in other episodes, just about in terms of politics and not as much media, but I think it applies in the same way that people like and where they've come from and like their even their like education plays so much into it. So it's like I think just having an understanding for the people who are like maybe not like understanding that that's like not okay, and like just trying to teach them and like do it in a productive way is like probably a good thing to keep in mind. That's what I try to think about at least.
Yeah, it's and, weird and to also, see like where like someone like Logan Paul like came from, like just like to like go back to his roots of like when making YouTube videos and stuff, and to see like where he is now, and just like how like so many people in that era of YouTube and like where they are now, especially when it comes to like politics and social stuff and the influence that they have.
No, the like right wing like pipeline is so interesting, and I like
it is
it's, think it's that baffling. With like people who have followings, it's like insane because it's like, wow, you really can just radicalize someone like that.
Yeah,
like it's really scary.
Very strongly, like, and I don't know how I feel about it anymore because I don't think I've thought about it in a while. But I used to think like, hey, stay out of it. If you were a social media influencer, stay out of it.
Right.
But then I started respecting like the liberal movement of like, okay, we kind of need to like inform.
Right. It's
people.
Like a different time too. It's like it is. It's kind of like we're seeing the product of staying out of it,
right?
You know, because it's allowed this.
I don't know what people have though. That's my point, is like both sides have like used their platforms to like heavily influence.
No, right, there always has been that, but there's I think more of it now on both sides.
Yeah,
because
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's like the stakes are higher,
yeah,
so the ones that are in power want to stay in power, so they're more vocal. Mm-hmm. And the ones that are like, no, this is fucked and like leading down a very dark road and I've seen this movie before, and we so like let's be more vocal about it, you know, the movie being Hitler. That we saw already. I didn't say that.
I don't know what movie we were gonna watch tonight.
It's also interesting, like with a Logan Paul, and I will say this: I think that the best thing that Logan Paul has ever done is join the WWE.
Oh,
he
yeah.
was fucking made for that, dude.
Fire.
Yeah.
And let's get him over there. Let's boring. Put him there and like yeah. not have him over here.
Well, it's crazy how people like know him now as that.
Yeah, like they don't even like understand. Insane. Yeah. Like,
they don't even know the lore.
Yeah. No, he yeah. is an incredible performer, and it upsets me that he's allowed himself to like go to the dark side in so many different ways and in so many different points throughout his life, because he could have been like just one of the greatest performers of all time because he is truly a naturally very gifted performer, very
legs.
Athletic. Like that's why he's killing it.
This is maybe visually like the best episode.
I was going
to
say,
like, it's so much dynamic, honestly. Yeah. Like
Qui-Gon has to say, he loves that song.
Tavira, you like should have been on this when you were younger. Like,
I know. I'm sorry. Oh my god.
Yeah, this is good. I feel like we could do this for like probably like 3 hours.
What's the song that you sent the other day to me, Brittany?
Oh yeah, I was telling Samira, I like when we were doing research for this, I like texted her just a couple of friends, and I was like, you don't know, but I was like jamming to this was the vibe in high school.
Yeah. Type shit, cruising through the PTH type shit.
Yep.
That's so funny. Back when I wanted to be a rapper.
And it's so funny, like listening back to now as an adult and being like, wow, yeah.
Oh no, you think you feel that way? There's some shit where I'll go back and I'll be like, oh my god, especially like the like later stuff, because we were at a point when we were like acquired by Rooster Teeth where we were making 6 videos a week, which is crazy for anything ever to do.
Yeah.
And yeah. like, you're so tunnel vision, like you have no perspective and like ability to like stop and process what's going on. You're just like, boom, 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 boom. And so like the quality and the things that you say and the everything, you're just like, where was I? Like, where was I mentally during that to be able to like make anything?
I feel like the space at the time
sit down
is very like like I feel like that was kind of just like, I don't know, I think everything works up to itself in comedy and then it like goes in cycles and whatever. And I am also curious about what you guys think about like how the comedy space was back then. But I think it's interesting because I think that you guys like played a part in this like kind of like mountain thing where like that, like even though it's like stupid now, it made a lot of sense. Like it made so much sense at the time,
it was, like,
you know,
really relevant, like in the sense of like where the sphere of comedy and influence and kind of like mindsets and everything was at the time, for sure. Like I think that taking into account like the historical context of a time is absolutely relevant. But yeah, it's like I feel more me now than I ever have in my life, and I probably felt the same way then at that time, but now looking back I'm just like, wow.
Yeah, it's like
for some stuff, not for all stuff, obviously. Like I look back at it very fondly generally.
Maybe we're not, hopefully this is what we're talking about, otherwise I'm out of the loop, but are we talking about like comedy and what like what the climate is like as far as what is okay and what isn't? Is that kind of what we're talking about?
Well, I honestly was just like curious about like how you guys view like that, even like era of YouTube, and like because it has changed so much, and I think there were like very specific names and everything, and the comedy, like I feel like the reason people took such a liking to Sugar Pine 7 was because it was very unique for the time in comedy. Like not a lot of people were doing that sort of like almost like professional feeling type of video content. So yeah. I don't know. I'm just like curious. I'm curious where you think like you guys played into that, and also just like how you felt about the general like landscape and how it's changed since
then.
Yeah,
I think that like it's really interesting because I agree. Like I think that what we were doing at that time was like
innovative,
very innovative. Can you actually change the ISO back up to where it was?
Yeah, you made a mistake earlier from my original settings.
It was a lot brighter earlier.
Don't blame the
don't blame the camera. Yeah, like how we went about doing it, it was more of like a traditional kind of vibe as far as like a series goes, but then with the more like internet influenced like vloggy style, so what it did have that DIY feel to it, but then it had, you know, we had like storylines and characters and things that we would like develop and move along, which yeah, I feel like was very unique to us at the time. And it's funny, like I recently have been seeing like different creators, like, and I don't even think that they're doing it intentionally because it's been so much time.
Yeah.
Like, and I'll use this word lightly, ripping off the style. Cause again, I don't think that they're doing it intentionally. So I think ripping off kind of insinuates that there's like an intention behind it. So forget I said rip off.
No, I don't. let me add to this really quick. I think, and maybe it's arrogant, I typically am not an arrogant dude, but I feel very aware of what SB7 was, how different it was, how our humor was different, and how it got to the level that it got to. It was unique, very unique, all the different elements, but particularly our sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I personally think, unless there's something I'm missing, that it was a significant contribution of influence that, whether people know it or not, led to where we are now, where there is like a lot of different type of larger creators who kind of have a little bit of like that sense of humor or something. And maybe I'm wrong, and maybe it's like,
I think it's possible. I don't think there's any way to know for sure, but right. I've just seen like more like literally new in the past, like 6 months, like I've been on TikTok and I've seen like video styles that are literally like vlog, freeze frame, narration, subtitle, like an exaggerated vlog style that I'm like, it's hard to not draw comparison. And at the same time, I don't care. I'm not offended by it. I'm like, if it's good and it's, and you're doing a good job of it and you have your own spin on it, do it. It's not, we didn't create that
right,
style. I think like you could attribute it to us for like combining these different pieces together, it's not like we didn't,
like someone else
invent the
could
wheel.
Have also stumbled across a similar formula, having a similar sense of humor, right? Like that's probably bound to have happened eventually anyways. And that's where, like, I don't know, like just the general sense of humor has gone as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like it has come to like that in a way becoming the norm for people, which is really interesting.
Yeah, no, I feel like it's like seeped into the like landscape now online where that is the norm. And yeah, and I feel like that's how it is with like a lot of like YouTubers or like media that was like very new at the time.
Have that style in order to like, as a storytelling device, you know what I mean? Like that's why I think Steve like originally did the narration, was it was a way to like craft a story out of what we ended up shooting, you know? Like instead of having to shot list everything and make sure that you shot everything you needed to film these pieces and have like a plot continue along, it's like, no, we go out and we shoot what we feel. And then there's the narration that pieces things together in the edit.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's a lot more of a like approachable way to make something versus like a more traditional, like shot list, you know, plan everything out pre-production and like, fuck, we didn't shoot everything we need. We have to go have a pickup day and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
On TikTok. What's that? Did y'all guys see where I put my vape?
I don't know if you had it this
No, I actually, I didn't notice, no. But maybe check your pocket, try your pocket.
Not in any of my pockets. I couldn't have gone very far.
I feel like that's what Elon Musk should do, is come up with like a way that you can find your vape no matter
like
are.
Well, you could have put an AirTag on it, but
yeah, but
just like stick a big ass AirTag.
Yeah,
like a disposable vape, so you then you have to rip it off and put it on another one.
Dude, do you want to like bring up what you mentioned earlier about churning out like 6 videos a week? You said, I think, and
one because, of which was an hour long podcast.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And just like the general like shift of Sugar Pine 7 and what people talk a lot about online is just like why it ended. And I think that it's like, I know you guys have kind of like talked about it online before, but I am curious just hearing like your perspectives now of like how that pressure kind of just like took form.
Yeah. And that shift from like making casual videos to then it like, yeah, having all this pressure and just being this huge thing.
Yeah, I think that like first and foremost, especially when you're creating things like online where there's a quick turnaround and there's like a quick kind of like feedback cycle and it's kind of like this system that's perpetually moving. is you're always kind of fighting between creating what you want to create as like a creative expression and then creating something that is
mandatory to be created.
That is like a separate point, but like creating something that is going to be quote unquote like approachable enough for the masses for it to like gain popularity and continue growing, you know what I mean? So, and I think one of the things that made us like special is it kind of felt like we were kind of just making what we wanted to make, and getting success from that. And then when, you know, we were acquired by Rooster Teeth, and we can talk as much shit as we want about them because they're fucking gone. Get fucked. Right.
We also, I did see like when I was researching, and I like, I feel like I kind of tapped out of this, so I don't know exactly the timelines, but was there stuff with like, someone in it being a predator, was that while you guys were there and you found out?
It was happening while we were there. But it didn't come out until we were gone.
You didn't know that it was happening when you were
when we were in the office, no idea it was happening. And it was like a, like when it came out like on Twitter and shit, I remember disturbing. It was literally like a I was like, oh my fucking god, because it was somebody that I considered a good friend, and like I couldn't even consider like, or you know how like Bruce or James and Elise felt and shit. And we're talking about Adam. Like it was such a
disturbing.
Truly disturbing, like a disturbing thing, because it was like in a place that we were also in, happening without us even having any awareness. And that's, it's like very violating feeling. And I'm just talking about the like jerking off in the office in the bathroom and taking pictures.
That's crazy. I did not know that's what happened. That's like psychotic.
Look, do your thing at home.
Right.
Do your thing away from us. And us. Don't do it in the fucking office.
And having tons of cups and And filling up a fucking water cooler full of piss collectively in the office. It was our private office that we weren't acquired by, and we all liked it. And we did it for like a month or two.
And that didn't need to be brought up.
And James, not McCune, James Buckley shitting in a donut box.
Why are you saying all these things?
I remember, I literally like was seeing this on a specific Reddit thread, like while I was like trying to remember like your guys' lore and stuff, because I don't remember a lot of it because I was like younger. And I like literally everything you just said, that's on a Reddit thread somewhere.
Here's the thing. I think where people misremember, and it wasn't really what happened.
It was. I love that era. I'm proud of that era. Dude, we were fucking young 20-year-old fucking kids who were a bunch of, a handful of best friends who somehow had an office and were making videos.
No, I know. Dude, I'm totally kidding. I don't give a shit at all, because it was disgusting.
But it's
But it is funny, but it also was disgusting. And so
viewers are understanding this, that they're talking about like peeing in their office because there wasn't a bathroom. The sexual assault thing, that is like a separate thing. Just this so is not, people know.
Thank you so much.
Because it was a little confusing.
We weren't like sexually degrading a public space where other people worked.
Yeah,
21-year-olds peeing cups out of laziness.
Because the bathroom, our office was in a fucking sketchy neighborhood. The bathroom was like, we had to walk down in this sketchy strip mall and go there.
That's crazy.
We literally half filled a fucking, what, how many gallon fucking water cooler jug full of piss? And then dumped it over the edge into the dumpster. No, we threw it over the edge into the dumpster. We wouldn't have dumped it. That makes no sense.
Yeah. So
we wanted to reuse it.
Obviously, we never do that now. We're fucking I'm almost 30 years old. I would never do that. That was just funny.
And it also is funny, like, the perception, I think, that just, like, having an office holds for people who are, like, watching something from the outside, because I remember being young, being like, whoa, they have an office. They must be, like, you know.
And that's what was going on.
Yeah, it's really funny.
That was pre-being acquired. That was, like, SP7 was just making enough money from YouTube that Steve was like, we should get an office, and then we can be there together all day, every day. You know what I mean? It's like... Yeah, it was
fun. You guys should have just done like a content house.
It basically was a content house, but we used an office as our set and like part of the storyline.
Yeah.
Like, it was exactly that, but just a better, more thought out, cooler version with piss.
What was the original question, though?
I was just, I don't even know anymore.
I don't even know. Like the shift from being like, or from getting acquired or to getting acquired and then
right.
So, well, also like the timeline of that was basically, I just want to clarify. So it was you guys like what happened? Did you get like, you just left Rooster Teeth or you got fired or what? I don't even.
Essentially said, you're not making enough money. You're being laid off, and laid off means fired.
Okay. So then after that, you find out like a few years later that like what was happening behind the scenes or.
Yeah, when it all came out is when everybody found out.
I will say this, not to like defend his actions at all, but that was like not even the worst offender in Rooster Teeth that came out at the same time.
Crazy.
There was the other guy who was literally like messaging underage fans and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, just don't do that.
It's like not that hard to not do that.
It's unbelievable.
It's
the amount of that.
Have you ever heard of Tinder, my guy?
Have you ever heard of not doing that?
Ever heard of not doing that? Wait, what? I don't have to? Word. My bad, y'all.
It's scary how many YouTubers like things have come out about with that when it's like you could have just not done that. Like it's very easy to not do that.
It's fucking crazy. And like
do you think that was kind of the bane of Sugar Pine, like just like getting acquired and like then having to like turn out the content?
Yeah, yes and no. I do think that like there's a level of accountability that we like have taken of like, you know, we at the end of the day, it was on us to like
do good
and stuff like that. But the conditions didn't like allow for that. They were like impossible conditions because it was like, you know, we were basically told like bold-faced lies about what was going to be promised to us when we got acquired. Like we had just, you know, won a streaming. We had just made The Woods. We had just, you know, done these things and we had these aspirations to turn Sugar Pine 7 from like a YouTube channel
into a
production company and make shows, make movies, like all these things,
like grandfather ourselves out and like do what we wanted to do, which could have worked had they allowed it,
but... right? And so they were like, yeah, like we'll, you know, acquire you guys and put you on salary and we'll budget to make like 3 short films a year and then eventually make a movie. And we were like, yeah, that all sounds great. And so we did that. And then it immediately became focus on the channel.
Yeah.
6 videos a week. We need to get those numbers up.
Which is understandable because like as a business, they didn't do it right. But like as a business, Rooster Teeth was like, oh, Sugar Pine 7's not making the amount of money we want them to make. We have to change that. And so they just made the shift. But from my perspective, you know, being forced to make that many videos dilutes the creativity.
100%.
As an artist and a musician, if you told me to write 5 songs today that were my best 5 songs, I could not do that.
Yeah.
And if you said I had to contractually or I lose my job, I would do it and they just wouldn't be that good.
Yeah, like, exactly.
It's as simple as that.
It's as simple as that.
You can't with how we were, and maybe other people could be forced to do their thing as good, but how our creative minds are, we could not. It required sleeping on an idea for a day, getting together with the boys, talking about it over brunch, and then filming that, and then that discovering something, and then Steve takes it and writes narration, or James writes narration. Like, it just, like, it had to happen. That's why it was special, right? And
we didn't have the time to actually, like, cultivate it into something. And also, we had little to no guidance from the larger company to like cultivate us into something. We had, and God bless him, he's one of my great friends to this day, Bruce Green, who was already managing Funhouse, who then took, like, he chose, because he loved us, to take on the responsibility of also managing our channel. So now he's spread too thin, and we're spread too thin, and poor Bruce guy. Only has the like capacity to like, you know, give us the advice and the guidance that works for Funhouse, but two different channels completely.
Yeah.
So like, it's literally nothing against Bruce. He was put in a shit position too.
So well.
And we've talked so much about that, like after we've all left Rooster Teeth and stuff.
Yeah.
But like, as far as the larger company, there was no guidance whatsoever. There were expectations with of no
kids.
and with no guidance whatsoever. So we very quickly realized, like, oh, we're fucked. We kind of have to just ride this out.
Yeah.
And we're gonna lose our jobs eventually.
It was a dark, like,
yeah,
6 months.
Because it was like, we, I think we were with them fully acquired for like a year. And then it was like the first 6 months was us trying all this shit and doing all this shit, it's not working. And then it was like, we got the like, hey, you have to get the uptrend going.
Well, I copy that.
And we were like, okay.
Didn't really take it serious at first. Like,
but we actually did try a lot, and we implemented like a lot of new ideas. And like trying new things. Show. Oh yeah, the variety show.
Say, oh yeah, I put my heart and soul into that.
Well, I mean, that's like the bane of my existence when it comes to YouTube shit.
And
it just wasn't working, obviously, and we knew it. And you know, it was like, it was so disappointing. And then when it ended, like me, like particularly, like that was my first, you know, experience doing something like that with YouTube, and happened to find success on the first thing that like I made, thanks to you guys.
You got and
and so, in the fact that we were also like, you know, basically playing exaggerated versions of ourselves, it was like this identity crisis thing, you know, and the validation of like it being us.
It's very toxic.
Yeah, it was like this weird toxic thing that like took a minute to kind of work through and unlearn.
I think a lot of people who put themselves out there online can relate to that.
Yeah,
if you do it and you're, because you're like, you're not your ego. Your confidence is in who you are.
Yeah,
is very much, you know,
tied to that.
Yeah,
how well
that makes a lot of sense.
You can have a fucking identity crisis. But I was just thinking about how funny it was. Like, it was such a classic, almost like Hollywood-esque experience of like when we got acquired and like won the streaming and shit. Cause like Rooster Teeth, when we first got acquired, treated us like fucking
royalty.
Driving Bernie, the CEO's Tesla, his rap.
Oh my God. Stop.
Getting fired out. Yeah. Like all this shit. And then it was
And then they were like, fucking failures, you fucking losers, not even talking to us anymore, delegating to the lowest bottom fucking like person of authority.
It was like them trying to like capture something that was hot and new and fresh, and having. Oh, A, no experience in the type of content that we made whatsoever. All the shit is gaming shit. Like, what made them think that they knew anything about what we were doing?
But Rooster Teeth was so incredibly legendary. Like, it was like, oh, of course we should do Rooster Teeth. Because it was Rooster Teeth or Smosh, I think.
Wanted to do a question. And what would have happened if you let Smosh help you
in another life?
Later, we would have. I'm glad it happened exactly as it happened.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Our lives are phenomenal now.
I wouldn't want to be anywhere else than where I'm at right now. Cause like the new shit that we're on, like we're literally like producing movies.
Yeah.
We're literally producing.
It's not something we talk about, and like no one knows what we're doing, but we're working in actual film industry right now, and like reading fucking scripts and being a part of like actual studio backed films being created, and having a say in like what directors they are, and writing coverage on scripts and our opinions, and like they're being taken serious. And like
it's a really cool thing. And like, you know, my goal and what I have been focusing on since is like being a director and focusing on that. And like I'm intending to direct my first feature, like, I mean, this year would be crazy, but probably next year.
That's so exciting.
It's very exciting. It's a focus shift that needed to happen, and it wouldn't have happened if things didn't, you know, pan out the way that they did.
There's such thing as staying too long at the fair.
For sure.
You know that quote?
That's like what a lot of, you know, creators, I think, end up fizzling out from that. And they think that their only option is like to go back and continue making content and shit. And it's like, maybe move on to something else. Maybe move on to like the next larger step.
What's next? Yeah. What's next is usually better if you can
find
out what that is.
Yeah. But I think it's just like the scary part of like going on to that next thing. I think that's for everyone, even just like in normal life.
I had a mental breakdown.
It's so scary. Yeah.
And like that middle part of like the unknown and being stuck in there is really, really scary. And yeah, that's like with anything in life, like leaving a relationship, leaving a job, like anything.
Because you need that like semblance of like faith that you're going to get out of this, that this is not a permanent thing. Like literally actually where I'm at right now with like quitting Adderall, like I've been on Adderall for 6 years and I know that there's like withdrawal from Adderall that is like depression, mood swings, mm-hmm. like, you know, intense exhaustion and fatigue and like all these things that fuck with your chemicals in your brain. But like, there's a loose like time frame there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like 3 to 5 weeks is kind of like what it takes to get it all out of your system. And so it's like, yeah, I know that I'll be at a point where I'm able to just operate fine. And like with everything that I've learned and like habits that I've formed, like positive habits and mental, like, you know, what's it, fucking patterns and shit that you like patterns. Create. All that's there. It's just like the other symptoms of the withdrawal that I'm getting through and shit. And that sounds so intense saying withdrawal, but it literally is like,
yeah,
withdrawal.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fucked. Cause I took Adderall for a year. Like I had this phase where I moved to Arizona for my ex-girlfriend and then got a job because I was like streaming for income. And then I was like, oh, I don't like feeling scared if I'm going to pay rent every month. And then I got yeah. a full-time job and it was like, I killed it for them. And then I needed Adderall to like maintain relationship stuff and work and like all this shit. And then I hated the job. After a year, I was like way hooked on Adderall. And I was abusing Adderall and like staying up for like 2.5 days, multiple times a week, like for a while, like I was fucked, like abusing Adderall. And then like just totally collapsed. Like my whole shit fucked my whole life up. And then worked really hard the past like 2 years to like get back to here. And Adderall is fucked. Like,
yeah,
it can be such an amazing tool, but mm-hmm. done both responsibly and when you're in the right place of mind where it's beneficial and not, you know, fucking you, because it's very fucked.
And it's like it's more times drug. Than not, I feel like it's so easy to fall into a dependency on yeah. something that is dictating the way that you like think and operate. Like if, mm-hmm. if you know, if you fucking even coffee, like drinking a cup of coffee in the morning, like if you don't have your coffee in the morning, you're going to be tired and have a headache and shit, then you're going to drink coffee. So like the idea of like, oh, well, I'm just not going to get addicted to this thing or like dependent on this thing. It's like, yes, you are, because it's affecting the chemicals in your brain. Mm-hmm. So like you're literally creating, like you're enabling like this dependency on this substance where your brain is now like reforming to expect it to come from this yeah. place. Mm-hmm. And then if you don't have that, it's not going to operate the same way. So it's like a design thing to get you hooked on this thing.
I almost don't know if Adderall should be legal. It's too much of like a fucking limitless drug. It is.
And it's like, dude, and also Adderall, I don't know if you guys take Adderall or have ever like experienced it, but it's like, if you're not in a good mental state, don't, like the Adderall isn't going to help it.
It artificially yeah. makes you feel yeah. like you feel great yeah. while you're in the worst place in your life.
But then that's what it did for me. Like for me, like especially the past year, dude, I would like be taking my Adderall and then just be fucking gaming.
What you're talking about with the production company and things, I do want to know if you have like, for like YouTubers who maybe would somehow end up in your spot, like do you have like an ideal situation of like how this would be fixed and how that doesn't happen, you know? But maybe there is yeah, one, and that's definitely. Okay. But
share yours and I'll share.
So it's like, it's one of those things where it all depends on how much like, I guess, pull you have, right? When you're negotiating a deal, you always have more than you think, because at the end of the day, they're coming to you for what you create. So without that, they don't get that. Like if you don't, you have to value your worth and like your time, what you create, all those things have value, and you have to hold firm in that and set those boundaries. It's really, the whole system is designed to take advantage of people
in every industry.
Yeah, every mm-hmm. industry, music, like record labels, studios, like all of it. But they do it in a way that is confusing and uses language that is not like everyday layman's terms and stuff like that. You know, have a lawyer look at things, make sure you know what you want going into a deal. And if you're unsure, reach out to people and get other advice and like, you know, get other people's perspectives on it. Mm-hmm. it's tough because like I don't know every deal that's out there. I don't know every option of what people might like come across, but like just value your worth and your time over everything. I think time is more valuable than money in every way, shape, and form. And I've learned as I've gotten older to value my time over money.
Oh yeah.
Because the money will always come. Like you know, and I know that might sound like cocky or like not necessarily, and like, sure, not necessarily, but generally, the money will come. If you say no to a job, you'll get that back down the line. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? But if it comes down to like something where you're sacrificing your time, you can't get that back. Mm-hmm. So like always prioritize your time.
And since James covered that side of things, because I fully agree with all that, I would say when it comes to like more like your creation of your art, your content, whatever it is, you have to just fucking do exactly what you love.
Exactly what
doing.
They say.
Exactly what you love to do.
Yeah.
And what inspires you, so that you can't always rely on motivation, right? Like mm-hmm. sometimes it's like capturing lightning in a bottle, and when you do, it's fucking awesome. But if you fucking love this thing, then you can kind of get away with sometimes doing it when maybe you're not super motivated, or it's easier to motivate yourself. And it'll translate. If you like it, if it's music, if you like it, someone else will like it, mm-hmm. unless you're not talented. But usually that's how it works. If you like it, someone else will like it, and that extends. So you just have to do it and make sure you like it, and don't worry about anything else. Make your art, get fucking weird, like, go out and fucking write or do something in the forest. Like, just do what you're inspired to do, not thinking about the outcome. It has to be for you first.
100%.
And then when it's complete, like, I believe, like, I'm fortunate enough to have found some success in music where, like, I have been validated in this, where I did what I loved and put it out there and people liked it. That's great. So now I don't even have to think about if people are going to like the thing anymore. I have to think about if I like the thing.
Yeah.
And so that's mm-hmm. lucky. You don't always get to like, you don't start knowing that people are going to like it. You start going, I don't know if people are going to like it.
Yeah.
And that can fuck you. But just worry about if you like the thing. And YouTube videos, streaming, whatever, like if you like doing the thing, keep doing it the way you like doing it, because it will translate. I would rather fucking make 20 grand a year doing what I love. That's the other thing, a lesson I've learned in my life, having taken a full-time job where I fucking had to like do crunch fucking numbers and do the fucking an unbelievable amount of work at a startup company that like they're killing it, and I had to present data, what we did last week, what we're doing this week differently from last week that didn't work, to the entire company wearing a fucking suit and tie for a year, and I killed it and got them viral fucking marketing videos, blah 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 blah. I did that. And time is everything. And I would mm-hmm. rather be fucking broke as shit doing something that I love to do, waking up every day, being excited for what I do, than doing something that I don't for money so that I can be happy tomorrow. I want to wake up and be fucking happy today, every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a way to do that and still make sure you're setting yourself up for the future. And it is just by doing what you love. If you love doing it, that will happen. But not fucking grinding to be happy when you're 40. Fuck that, dude. I've had so much joy in my life every day of my life. Yeah. Like, every day of my life. I chose this since I was like 15. And every day of my life has been awesome. Yeah. Like, minus when it's not, right? But like,
but that's just life.
That's my choice. Yeah. And dude, and like James said, the money comes. Like, I'm not fucking broke. I'm not rich at all. In fact, I'm probably broke. But but I love my fucking life, and I wouldn't change anything about it. You know, and if it was exactly this for the rest of my life, I would die happy.
Yeah.
You know, bang right.
Yeah. No, I was having like a very similar like conversation to that, like in a coffee shop before, because we were just like bonding about like, yeah, like being like, I feel like we found ourselves the most like content with our lives when like, and like the space where it feels the easiest to do the things that you like really want to do when like, you're not working, which is like working on something that's like feels really taxing, which is such a hard situation to like navigate in our world. And it's really hard because I think the whole world is just like built for you to be like tortured.
You gotta make money, you gotta pay the bills.
Like
the
system is designed to keep you subservient and keep you like in the a cog in the machine, you know, to keep this thing going, because that's literally what our entire economic and social system is built around. And to take the risk of like stepping out of that and prioritizing your happiness and your time and everything and your creative whatever, it doesn't have to be something creative, although I do think that like everybody has a level of creativity that is important to express in some way, because like the fulfillment in that is something that like you can't really get in other places.
Can't survive without it.
Yeah. Really. And like, I think, you know, cosmically you're rewarded when you take those risks. Mm-hmm.
And if you got to make money, like, because if there's anyone watching who's like, yeah, but I can't survive doing that, I have to go do this full-time fucking thing. Like, just find the thing that makes you want to still be alive the most. If that makes sense. Like, yeah, the least shitty thing, the thing that is the least annoying to have to do to pay the bills, and then just do what you love with every second of the rest of the
time. And be patient, you know? Yeah, be too patient. That certain like
change nothing's permanent. Yeah, that shitty job 100%. You'll learn that you hate that, and then you'll find something that you hate less. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, for a little while I was working at a lighting shop, and that was like the best version of that. Instead of like working doing something else, like I got to like still work in the feet of film. You know, and so that was exciting and fun and created opportunities and relationships in the world that I love. And it was still just like a fucking $17 an hour job. You know what I mean? Like and part time. But like I was proud of myself doing that, and I liked doing it. Mm-hmm. And it was supplemental income. And I'm glad I did that. Like, that's my advice for people who are like, yeah, but I gotta fucking make money. I can't just fucking make a YouTube.
And obviously,
video,
you know,
survive.
There are specifics to people's situations that we might not cover, but like I think that what you said is very true, and the thing that people forget a lot is that nothing's permanent. Mm-hmm. Literally nothing is permanent. Mm-hmm. If you have to take a job for a year, that's fine. That's a year. Or if you have to, you know, move into a place for a year and for a year lease or whatever, like that's fine. Like that's not a forever thing. Like understand that and like roll with the punches that like things will change and plant seeds, because if you don't plant any seeds, nothing's gonna grow.
That's some shit.
That's the thing, is like the planting the seeds, like can't do nothing and expect something to change.
Yeah,
like you have to plant those seeds and then give it the time and be patient with
and
it,
and you will fucking harvest. Oh my god, because we've been talking about that for like 3-4 years of like right now is a planting the seeds era, where like you're grinding, doing some bullshit, but I'm planting a lot of seeds. And then a year or two goes by and now you're bearing the fruit of those freaking seeds. And you still have to be always planting seeds.
Exactly. Like, once it's you like start a perpetual, because like you're reaping here, but then there's you're sowing here and you're seeding here.
We're planting seeds still. You know what I mean?
I'm planting a seed right now.
From seeds from planting
this is a seed.
This is a seed.
I planted some seed in James last night, actually.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Yes, I did. But yeah.
No, and I feel like I always remember too, in like what you were saying about, oh, just like if it's a year, you have to sign a lease, then it's a year. But also knowing like in those times, there's also like the invisible space, like the invisible world that you can like also exist in and like find enjoyment out of, which is like really difficult and way easier said than done, but I feel like that helps me a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you mean invisible in the sense that just things that aren't for people to see, or
I think I mean just like metaphysically of like creativity to me is like that's an invisible thing. Yeah. And like just like all the like your passions and things that you can do, like you can do in your space, but you're not really in your space.
Right. Yeah. No,
like you can always do those things.
Yeah.
100%. And like you're always honing that skill. Yep. That's the thing too, is like, I think with like how obsessed and plugged into like social media and shit everyone is, you always think that you have to like create for an audience or to put out there, when in reality, like, yeah, you like, you have to create for you and like be honing your skills and like sharpening that blade and getting better and better at this thing.
It's someone else's job to make the thing you create for other people. Like, that's how like at a high level shit works. You know what I mean? The artist in whatever medium that is has to create it for them for it to be really good. And then it literally, that's why there are producers. That's why there are distributors, people who take that thing and package it for the world.
Yeah. I mean, like working in film too, like film's the most collaborative work form. You have a crew of like 1,000 people.
Maybe
you
even
know?
1 million.
Maybe even 1 million people.
You guys should like be motivational speakers.
Thank you.
You guys should do a talk
feeling
somewhere.
Right now?
This is like hyping me up.
I'm hyped.
That's amazing.
Should we all go for a run?
Yeah.
We should run a marathon.
Are you guys in?
Yeah, do you guys
want
to run a marathon?
No. Where are you from?
We're
from Philly.
Philly!
Yeah. Do you like that place?
I actually want to go to Philly. I was
come
like,
to Philly.
Guys, come to Philly. We'll show you around.
I went through like the Philly airport like last year, and like I was just like looking outside, and I was like, I'm down to go to Philly. Just as, like a random
fun.
City. I feel like there's just like I want to travel more and shit. There, yeah, but no, the script that I just read and did like coverage on, and we're like had a meeting about like director options and shit for it. Like it's based in Philly.
Mm. Oh,
that's a connection.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
That's
I bet it was go. About the Eagles winning the Super Bowl.
Go no, Birds. I couldn't give a fuck about that.
Wait, but in the context of Jim Carrey's Ace Ventura when Pet Detective.
That's the Dolphins.
The Dolphins versus the Eagles.
Mm.
Yep.
I bet it was about Tagabow and Alex G.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
The artist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck with Alex G.
Alex G, he's from here.
He's the one to fall apart. I love that song.
Yeah. I bet he does have that.
He probably does.
Yeah. What?
You guys come to LA ever?
I've been once, but I really want to visit.
We'll do an in-person pod or something.
That'd be so fun.
That's what we want to do eventually.
We need you guys to be in this room, but you have to sit back there. And
okay.
You're the hosts, and you guys sit back there and you do my homework.
And you don't, yeah.
Okay.
And also,
okay.
Don't speak.
Don't speak.
Okay, yeah.
We
no, that's fine.
Mics, we only
that's
have
good.
Mics.
We could just type on like our laptops that. Or like play with calculators or something
yeah,
in
yeah.
the background.
Just boobs.
Yeah. Yep, 800.
On the calculator.
Yeah. Friend is always like traveling to LA, and I really have been wanting to go with her sometime like in the next year. So I'll let you know if I do.
Yeah,
do it. Yep.
Yeah.
Perfect time. Yes. Half the city got destroyed.
I was
yes.
just going to say.
An unbelievable, catastrophic disaster that was. Like
fucking crazy.
Very
how
surreal.
Have you like yeah. seen the city change? Were you in like living in that like?
We could see the flames and the smoke.
Definitely, like because we're in Venice.
Okay.
We were in one of the few pockets that was like
literally.
Really separate as far as like even you know evacuation notices and stuff. So
yeah.
We're very thankful for that. But like we know a lot of people that were evacuated. A lot of people yeah. whose you know. Homes or families' homes were destroyed, like
just absolutely mind-blowing.
It's no. like a post-apocalyptic
so
yeah. thing. It's like mind, it's a mind fuck, and it's so surreal to
yeah.
think that, because like something like that, like it just happens and then it's over and then it's like what.
Mm-hmm.
Well, especially it happening in LA is so insane because
yeah
I think like everyone has this like tie to LA, and like I mean obviously it matters. Of course, anywhere this would happen, but I think it's just like people's connection to like the people who they look up to, or like just like
yeah.
friends and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. there's so many people who, like, even who I know who I'm friends with in LA. So it's just like, yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. And like the fucking Palisades too. Like that was like that's my like was my dream place to live. Like I used to just drive up there and like
yeah.
look at houses and like I love the Palisades. It's such like so unfortunate. Why couldn't it have just been acres of nothing?
I know, right?
Yeah,
crazy.
But anyways,
what are you guys doing up to?
What are we up to?
This
yeah, I'm doing this right
this,
now
yeah yeah
word.
I'm doing this right now.
No fires in Philly, but we have house shows
like musical
yeah.
shows
yeah
yeah
what
the music stuff here
do?
Is crazy
yeah the music seems good
yeah
fuck yeah
that's unreal
well, mm-hmm. yeah we have Phoebe Bridgers in Tattooed Mom.
Is she from Philly?
No.
No, but she loves
but
a
she
bar.
Hangs.
She
knows how to hang.
To
yeah, yeah, she hangs in a bar.
No, she, like,
Philly.
Hangs in this one, like, because we have, like, these specific bars across the city that are, like, the, you know, the cool kid bars.
Yeah,
and she
yeah.
always goes to the one.
Yeah.
That's unreal.
Isn't she
yeah.
the best?
She's the best.
Oh, my God, she's awesome.
I love her.
She's the best.
And Julian Baker. You guys know Julian Baker?
I know her.
Oh, yeah.
I was listening to her before... Phoebe was even popping before Boy Genius.
You need to tell everyone that. You should tell
yeah.
everyone that.
I was listening.
Yeah, well, do you guys know Super Heaven?
James is in Super Heaven.
I knew them before you did.
Claps.
Thank you.
Also, okay. I want to give you guys a chance to talk about the things you are doing now before we
yes.
run out of time for the podcast. So I do want to hear just like the transition to... producing and directing and stuff, because that's awesome, and I feel like you probably got so much experience just like on YouTube that led you there, so
mm-hmm.
and also
yeah,
I want to hear about your music too, Clay.
Yeah, and like specifically like what you feel like, or like how like everything that you went through with Sugar Pine 7 like helped you with being where you are now and like having the life
Totally.
that you have now.
Yeah. So I think one of the biggest like lessons that I learned from Sugar Pine 7 is the whole like creating for yourself. And like we have our own little production company called Good Job Films now. And like one of the biggest kind of boundaries that I have with it is that no one's ever going to own that except for us. Like I'll never sell that or anything. If that takes longer to get to, you know,
This was
an
for
end
maybe
goal,
$1 billion.
maybe $1 billion. But you know what I mean? Just like, yeah, it might
Maybe to
take
like
longer
Steven
to get.
Spielberg.
Nah, he wouldn't want to buy
He
it.
might
He might.
want to.
But yeah, so we're right now we're producing, doing a lot of producing,
Writing.
writing. I'm writing a feature right now, that is based on a short film that we made a couple years ago, called Three Kings. And
And we now have like the facilities for it to be seen. We have a
yeah.
mentor who is like a huge executive who has worked in so many amazing projects and
Yeah.
fucking knows
We
everyone. And
won't
it's
say anything else.
no, just that, just literally that we have someone who's
Yeah.
like mentoring us and like showing us
Is
the
it a
real stuff from
secret?
a side of, no, I think he's more of a
It's just like a,
private
yeah, it's
person.
just like a
Like
private
he
thing.
just doesn't
It
want to be more than
wouldn't
just,
be a big
you
deal if
wouldn't
we
even
did.
know his name,
Yeah.
honestly. I'm
Okay.
kidding.
You wouldn't even know his name or his first
Why'd you
name.
even
But
ask?
no, but it's giving us like the facility to start learning and be a part of a side that is very not available,
Yeah, it's like
you
a
know?
really weird thing because there's like an absolute disconnect between like the online world and like traditional media, and it's like a weird thing to break into. And I've been for like 5 years now
Crazy.
working in like grip and electric and like working on set doing lighting and stuff like that because I wanted to just
Okay.
like be involved and be on set as much as I could be. And it's taught me so much and absolutely made me a better director, even though it's like not a directly related thing. But it's just been a lot of like, yeah, working and getting experience and learning a lot and absorbing a lot and being around it. And now it's like, okay, making the shift to actually like be producing things that aren't just like self-produced projects that you're making, because like been there, done that, and will continue to be there, do that.
A seemingly impossible thing to get into.
Yeah, like you definitely need
Like
like you definitely
a
need
fucking hand to
someone
reach
to
in.
open the door for you, and the industry is all about relationship and like reputation and things. And so like, you know, having somebody like our mentor who is like can vouch, you know, and be at the table with you when you're making deals and shit.
Help build a resume.
Yeah, so it's just like being in the real side of everything now, which is really cool and like a dream, you know. So definitely excited and love where we're at right now. We just actually after Christmas put out a new SP7 video. I don't know if you guys saw that. So like
It's pretty
on the
fucking
side,
awesome.
we want to like keep kind of making videos here and there with,
Totally for us.
yeah, totally for us, with no sort of expectation whatsoever. Like
And
it's
it's
never going
beautiful
to
to
be a
see
like
the people
multiple
like it.
videos a week thing. But
It's when we want to make
it's
it.
when we want to make them. And it's funny because like we ended the last one with a cliffhanger of being like,
We're back,
we're
baby.
back.
A year before this last video.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Even
That's
before, but
awesome.
yeah, like it was like, yeah, I think it was literally the day after Christmas that this one came out.
Now I like, work on set in Griffin Electric and I love that too. It's like fun little thing to do and learn and be around. And I've been doing music since about a year after SP7 ended because I took this short stint. I just kept going. Like after SP7, I like had to make rent and stuff. So I was like, what am I gonna do? And then I had like a year where I worked for, do you guys know who Dan Bilzerian is?
No, who's that?
That's crazy. Wait, how old are you guys?
I'm
24.
23. She's
Okay, that makes
24.
sense. You're just out of reach of Dan Bilzerian. He's Hugh Hefner, literally, and except almost
Whoa.
worse.
Worse.
Oh, interesting.
That's,
He's like
yeah.
this, like he's like one of those like
Let me look
alpha
this up.
male fucking
ASM.
like
Whoa,
almost Andrew
yeah.
Tate
Yeah,
vibes.
like a
Like
poker player.
Like, he's, it's literally.
Wait, so what were you doing with him?
I was the creative director of his content side of things. Like, he had this extremely elaborate live stream. It was actually my first time working in, like, something that had a large production outside of SB7, where there was, like, a fucking control room and fucking five camera guys with live fucking huge rigs and steady cams. And, like, one of the guys, his name was Trevor. He was amazing. I loved him so much. He works for fucking Nat Geo and, like, is an incredible photographer and does, all, like, covers for Nat Geo. Like, he had competent professionals there doing their thing, and then they brought me in because one of the guys knew me from SB7 and was like hey, I heard you guys need like fucking an assistant on this thing. I was just trying to get a fucking job.
Wherever,
as long as it's making content. I thought the Dambles or Anything was just like funny.
I have no idea who he is, but that is like so interesting. And also just like interesting to like enter that world after like doing mostly like independent stuff.
Mm-hmm. And comedy. Mm-hmm. Like, this was very honestly sexually exploitative in the very beginning.
And bare minimum of content where you just get like attractive women.
Vitaly's girlfriend running as fast as she can a quarter mile for like $10,000 and she's wearing almost nothing.
Wait, did you say Vitaly?
Yeah, he like came in one time.
Okay, and, I'm like understanding the sphere this was in.
I was like
bottom sore, of the barrel,
sore thumb, stuck out. But I needed something. I thought it was funny, and I went. And the producer, his name is Rob. He's actually like the kindest guy. It's funny that he was even involved in that because it's not his type of shit either. I think he probably just needed work, and it was a very high paying job at the time. Like at the time, I was making like $7,000 a month, and I was like,
"Oh my god,
this is like robbery." But I went and he was like, "Oh, this is crazy that you even want to be a part of this." And then he put me on camera, and then I was like hosting some of it, and like then they started like downsizing there too, and I was like very close with Rob, and he was like running the whole show. He was the showrunner there, and then it became me coming up with all the ideas and kind of planning everything, which turned into like the creative director role there. Then it's cool because like the last like 3-4 months, they decided we want to like turn this brand into something that's not like so sexually exploitative. And so I was like, I think that's a great idea. So it was like my job.
So
like,
you fixed them.
I fixed it. Before they canceled it and deleted it all. But like then it was like, I got to like make skydive documentaries and like go up and fucking like literally like write scripts, and like it was the beginning of me writing scripts and for content and shit. And we did a documentary of the female world champion surfer, and we did a surfing documentary, a rock climbing documentary, and it was like way more wholesome by the end. And I was really proud to like turn that fucking dog shit brand into like something that was cool.
That's really awesome. Cool. Yeah,
they were pumping money into it, and it was their brand. Their weed brand was the brand that was doing this content. So it was essentially paying us to make content that they could then advertise on their own content and make viral videos. But then that I stopped doing that, and I always made music all throughout SB7 and just my entire life. So there's always like a little music following for me. But then after that ended, it's a funny story. I went out to a show with Nick Anderson from the Rex and Benji from Catfish and the Bottom, and then we went out to a bar afterwards. And I was like, I want to do music full time. And I was asking them because they know my music because we've collaborated and made stuff. And I was like, genuinely, as my friends, because I don't want to waste my fucking time, should I fully commit to music and do it? Because I don't want to waste my time. Like, don't be a homie and just encourage me. Like, I want to fucking know, because I could go into comedy and do acting. I feel very competent there. They were like, you should absolutely do it. And I was like, boom, beautiful, did it. Yeah. And then just been doing music ever since. That's kind of like what takes up the majority of my time professionally.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like signed a record deal and signed a publishing deal and like created Whales Talk and like found my sound over a few years. And now I'm self-producing. I'm finally there, and I'm self-producing an album of songs, however that's going to be released. But
and it's the best stuff you've made.
Played some shows and then like,
that's so exciting.
Yeah, that's a sweet story.
It's
so fun, it's so cool, and like I need that in my life. I need both. It's I've discovered from like working shitty jobs and doing what I love that like I will go out like complete I will not be around if I don't do music and film. Like I need both of those things, otherwise I crumble, I self-destruct, I can't like exist. So just been doing that's what I've been up to, and that's what's fucking next. Just more of film, more music, and living with my fucking best friend.
thinking about your guys's like kind of like journey in media and how like that just led to another is like very inspiring to hear. So I appreciate you guys sharing that with us.
Of course. It's possible for anyone. It really is. All the advice we said, if you held it to anything fucking literate, you'll do it.
It's just, I think the biggest thing is just like that it is possible, as impossible as it may seem. Like, you just have to, my biggest thing, because I work with a lot of artists too, like making content and music videos and stuff for, and like, you know, you have a range, like smaller artists who haven't found their following and stuff like that, and like are down on that and way too focused on the numbers and the views and shit. And it's like, don't worry about all that shit. If you have talent and you're consistent, you will succeed.
Focus on
that
the
is
craft.
The only like formula to guarantee success, talent and consistency.
Literally, there's a saying, the day you quit doing it was the day you were the closest to ever making it.
Yeah.
Let that sink.
Like, period. Like,
hey, I like that. I like that one.
I'm going to put that on my wall.
You should put that on a plaque. Sell
yes.
it.
Yes.
I will take credit for that. I invented
it. Yeah. No, but yeah, thank you guys for everything you've said, because it is very inspiring just to hear. And also, like, your guys' friendship too is cool.
It's really sweet.
It's sweet, like, that you guys are still friends now after all these years.
We're lovers.
After all these years. Yeah, you guys are kind of like, you guys are kind of like the inverse of us too. Like, we're kind of like,
fuck
wait, but who's who?
I'm Ben Affleck.
Yeah, that's a great question. I want to know this though.
I'm Matt Damon.
Which one of you is James?
I'm probably the Clay, I'm guessing. Right? I don't know. What do you think?
You know them more than I. You know,
I guess
them.
I know you guys better.
Yeah. So
yeah,
from 2017,
I don't know
who you are anymore.
They're not who they were in 2017. People change.
That's for sure. And thank God for that. Thank God for that.
Okay. So one last thing, we have all of our guests do a thing. We have them all read a thing. We ask our guests to request this guy, Josh Ovalle. You know him?
Say that again.
Who?
Josh Ovalle, film Quaker. He's just, you know, he went offline. He's a YouTube guy. It's just our bit that like we can't stop because we started in the beginning and like
it's not very funny.
Like, it's not that funny anymore.
I think it's funny. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what it is that
he's just somebody that you want to get on the show.
Yeah.
I just want to say, I can't believe you guys got fucking Nick Ratigan
for your first.
Yeah, well,
that's our
flex.
Because I was like,
no, I know you said in the email, but it's like, wow, it's like, it actually interests me a lot when like someone responds in an email and is like, oh, I'm saying yes because you had this person. And I'm like, this is so like fascinating to me, because it's like, wow, like the ties, like the chain reaction. But literally, sure.
He's like the main one that people like when they respond to an email, they're like
it's Nick
Ratigan.
Well, like, dude, Nick. Kern Joyce is like one of my favorite bands ever.
They're so great.
Oftentimes, and it has nothing to do with whether you are or aren't talented. I think you guys very much
you guys are
sick.
But thank you.
That when someone you don't know reaches out to you and wants to
No, absolutely.
Like, yeah, I don't want to. But then you look through it and you're like, this person that I respect a lot.
It's like a letter of recommendation.
And that kind of like gives you the fucking green light. You know what I mean? That then like there's like, okay, they must be fucking dope. And then you're like, oh, they are dope. This would be awesome. Mm-hmm. Fuck
yeah.
Like,
no, I got like, helpful, you know, I met him because I had an internship at Pace Magazine, and literally my editor was like, do you want to interview him? And I was like, yes.
Yep.
And that like just lasted me. That like, I feel like that.
You're
that,
riding
like,
that wave.
Our freaking podcast. I've been riding that since.
Sure. No, that, and that's so sick. And that's a great place to start with something like that, because it gives you like an extra push.
Yeah.
It was super helpful having that.
Because we had talked about like starting this podcast since like we were freshmen in college. And then we just like never, like we would record episodes and then never do anything with them. And then like, I feel like Brittany got like the internship at Pace and then like was interviewing people, and then we were like, okay, now we have some kind of ground to actually do this.
Yeah,
it's so sick.
And it just don't stop.
Thank you.
I have friends who started.
We
podcasts.
Know you guys want to quit. We know.
it's hard sometimes.
Yeah.
Really enjoy it. Don't same thing we said. Have fun. Like, don't worry about the numbers. It's literally a matter of when, not if.
Mm-hmm.
It's
literally
like you guys could blow up fucking tomorrow, or you could blow up in 5 years. And if you're cool with knowing that it's when, not if, then just enjoy it. Keep fucking going, you know?
100%. Yeah.
Thank you. That's really sweet.
So we're going to say this thing, and then we have to jump off because we have a call in like 30 minutes.
60 seconds.
Okay, good. Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah. So I have places to be.
I, James DeAngelis, hereby request Josh Oliver to
Ovalle.
Ovalle, or collaboration with the Internet Zed podcast. Please, Josh, if you hear me, if you're there, if you're okay, if you're not okay, tell us. You have to give us a sign.
Stick to the script.
Be a guest on the podcast. We miss you.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
And now Clay, do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys can come on my podcast, Josh Ovalle. I want you on my podcast, Josh. I Clay.
So much for the freaking script.
I
can't read.
You too. I Clay/Kib hereby request Josh Overy for collaboration with the Internet is Dead podcast. Please, Josh, be a guest on the podcast. He missed you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
I like the eye contact at the end.
Yeah, it was really good.
That was really good.
Soul, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Thank you guys so much.
This is so fun.
That was so fun. Truly.
If you're ever awesome. In Philly, hit us up.
Yeah, if you're ever in Philly, we'll hang.
For sure.
Yeah.
And same if you're ever in L.A.
Yeah, yes, hit us up. We will let you know.
Yes.
You maybe sometime awesome in this next year. I'm trying
hopefully.
To.
Hopefully. That's what we're trying to do.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
So we're going to start up our podcast eventually again. Mm-hmm. And we'll hit you guys up to come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well.
Aww, that'd be so fun. I'd love
that'd
that.
Be sweet. Yeah.
And aww. Know that I speak for us both when I say this. You both are very talented. You're funny. You're fucking awesome. You're smart. And your podcast is dope. And you're doing it. And aww. I'm grateful and glad to be here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Sure. So sweet.
Yeah. That last part really out, nice. I was actually lying about that. Last
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I'll,
don't
like,
worry.
I'll
we're not gonna air that.
We're not gonna run.